I feel like just like I should just be on it too. Like I need to know
that was you playing, right?
No, that was yeah
that was you.
Sorry. Was you. Let me put it down. Let me get to the show.
That's pretty good.
My bad.
Yeah. You learned that in what, like 4 days?
That's pretty good. Yeah. Many talents. Beethoven. It was a long time ago. Don't worry about it. Nothing. No big deal. Man. But hey guys, happy Friday. What's up, Clark? How are you doing?
Dude, happy Friday, man. I'm pressing post on this, let people know we're in here.
Happy Friday. Okay. Woo. Okay. Hold on. There's a new way I need to start this show, guys. There's a new way that I feel like we should start this show to really just set it off, get it in the right place, and get my favorite people in the world thinking about the right things, okay? You guys ready? Here's what we're going to do. Shoe reveal. I need a shoe reveal, guys. Look.
Oh, I thought we were feeding the ducks.
We're going to feed the ducks.
Oh, okay.
But look, okay. I work from home. I don't get to see people anymore, so I wear my shoes in the house, okay? So I want all you sneakerheads to eat your little hearts out right now. That's right. It's a shoe reveal, baby. This is what's going on. The Travis Scott Reverse Mocha Ones for all you sneakerheads in your hearts. I know they're crushed right now. I know. I'm wearing them in the house. All creased up. Look, creases all in the front. I know.
You get them dirty? Are they dirty?
They're dirty. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was just
all saying, of that. All of that.
Is it a dirty shoe reveal?
No. Oh no. Oh no. What's the color? Anybody? What's the color? It's like a cream.
We've lost like everyone.
Off white cream. No, they're not dirty. No. I can't believe you just said that.
I know. One thing I know how to do is push buttons.
You do. That's true. That's true. Well, anyways. Yes, I do, Lincoln. I wear my shoes in the house. No shame. Okay.
Oh, man.
Again, I'll even dress up most days because I just needed to feel like I'm going to go somewhere. I'm going to meet somebody. Yes. Shame on me. I know. Thank you. I try. Well,
Stalin.
You know, last Monday, or just the Monday.
This past Monday.
Last Monday. Yeah. It feels like it was.
Feels like forever since we did this.
Because things are crazy right now. We got to go deep into the four U's, ultra specificity, urgency, kind of how it is that you want to write. We got a lot into the kind of abstract thought, the strategy about it. And today, we want to workshop it, y'all. We want to write in front of you guys. And we really want to dive into the approach, like, what is it we're doing before we write? What are we thinking about? How are we editing? How are we engaging? Just kind of all that, because I think that's what really makes all this easy. The more you understand the approach to it, everything else just gets easy once you're able to get everything, your thoughts, your ideas on paper. So with that in mind, Clark, would you start us off and throw it up on? There we go.
I got you.
Let's workshop it. And if you notice that pink and purple, that's the digital recruiter colors, guys, if you didn't notice in the background. Okay.
One's commented on my purple polo, but that's fine. Whatever. That's fine.
Who cares?
Whatever. No problem.
So it's all happy Friday, Amber. Happy Friday. Good to see you. Thank you. Worked hard to have a closet full of them that replaces all area of which my baby should use. So thank you. Anyways, going back to what's important here, right? It's about the approach, okay? And so what we talk about and our approach to it is we talk about kind of practical, useful content, right? Audience-centric content. Content that's for them, not for us. And so how does that start? It starts with understanding, for us as recruiters, right? Our hiring managers' challenges, their fears, and their aspirations. Clark, why would it be important to understand the hiring manager's challenges, fears, and aspirations if we're doing audience-centric writing?
Ooh. I mean, we got to know how to get their attention, right? Is it as simple as that? Should I just stop there? Is this over? Is live over? Are we done?
No. That's great. The only I'd add to that, right, is we know this, guys. Emotion creates movement, right? You know what? I'll paint the picture. If emotions didn't create movement, then I don't think that there would be such thing as cigarettes and chocolate, right? I think that everybody would be eating broccoli every day, all day, because that's what makes sense. That's practical, right? I lost my train of thought.
I love it. I'm gonna let you get.
Where was I going with that?
Dude, you're just like, you're on one, and I love it. Like,
I said something about broccoli. You wouldn't eat your broccoli. Oh yes,
Clint. I mean, I'm just taking it all in.
Hey y'all, that's where I'm at today, guys. That's where I'm at. But yes, so that's where it's at. Emotions create movement, right? Everybody would be going to the gym all day, every day. If that wasn't the case, we wouldn't be eating chocolate. Would be no cigarettes, right? If all we thought was rationally, but we don't, right? So we have fast cars, right? We have these crazy movies with explosions and kidnappings and all this crazy up and down roller coaster, right? Because emotions create movement. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then we rationalize them after, right? So we buy that fast car because we cannot wait to go fast. But guess what? It saves us gas. So we had to buy it, right? We rationalize things after. More importantly, though, who's the hero and who's the guide, right? We can't always be the hero of our own story. Now, when we write this way, it's definitely important to be the hero because you got to show them personality, right? You want to show, you know, a little bit about what makes you different, who you are. That helps the like, no, trust part. But they are the hero of the story. They are
Enrique
the reason.
Enrique Iglesias, the hero.
Be my hero, baby. You know? Hey.
And Elise wanted you to start singing. And I got you. And Elise, I got you. I saw that comment.
It wouldn't be a live show if I didn't do, you know.
I was just waiting till the moment.
Be like, your hero, baby. All right. So, but look. But it's true, though. They're the hero, and we're Enrique Iglesias. We have to guide them along the way on their journey. Because more times than not, they don't even know what their problem is. We have to illuminate the problem for them and then help them see that we are the person that can help them. Okay.
Hey, you know what? I'm going to get my standing desk going. I'm going to turn my
camera on
for a second.
It helps so much.
I'm getting jealous of your energy. I'm just sitting. I'm slouching.
Hey, I'll
press the button.
All right. Look, I'm back. I got to step it up. Okay. So while Clark is over there, is changing his shoes because he's jealous of my shoe game.
I can't even show you my slippers right now. They're so disgusting.
We're gonna move to the second part of the approach, right? And it's kind of what we want to be thinking about before we write, right? Empathy mapping. We want to be thinking about worldviews, right? What is it that they see? Christina. I stop at Enrique Iglesias, okay?
But I start at Top Gun, so
I won't. Okay. So, but empathy mapping, right? Worldviews. The more we can understand the worldview, what they see, what they feel, what they hear, right? When they have this pain, how does it come up for them, right? That the more we understand that, the more we can tap into those emotions that create the movement that we want, right? So let's discuss their daily pressures. What do they fear, right? What makes them nervous day to day? Go ahead, Clark. I know you have something.
Ooh, getting fired, being late to work. What are they going to have for lunch? I don't know. Are they going to stay on track of their January resolutions? They going to pick up their kids on time, right? What's their boss going to say? Is there anyone replying to their job postings? You know,
and for us, right?
I'm just throwing stuff out there. I don't know.
No, but that's but you know, we could keep throwing them out there. What do they fear? They fear that like last month they're gonna get that message from their boss that they need to have that hire by next Monday, and now they don't have enough time for the seven other jobs that they're having to do because they have these other roles that need filled that aren't filled because they have to do eight jobs. They fear getting a text message from their boss as they're about to go eat their dinner with their family because that's what happened last week and it messed up their whole day, right? Like, how does that come up for them? But what do they daydream about? I bet they daydream about the same things as you. I bet they want to be taking their calls from a beach. I bet they don't want to have to wear seven hats. I'll bet you anything that they want to, if they're a VP, they want to be a senior VP or in the C-suite, right? They probably daydream about the same things. They want to be a better version of themselves. Okay. Who do they look up to? Right. How does that pain show up for them day to day? So for us as recruiters, talking to hiring managers that have to do their job and hire people of which a job that, you know, is kind of abstract for them. That's why they need us. Right. And then who do they avoid? Are they avoiding their boss? Because again, they know that they're going to have to face that pain.
You just go. Keep going.
Let's just keep going.
You're just killing it. Like, why would I interrupt? I got one thing to say. Christina, no, you're right. The song, it does. Yeah, you could take my breath. You're right. I immediately thought Berlin, Top Gun, though. I mean, there's too many gems. There's too many bangers out there.
That's true. Yeah. I totally. Yeah. Oh, man. I don't know why I thought Celine Dion. Anyway, man, just, nope. Hey, it's good.
Everything. I think I know what we're going to probably, our headline, our post is going to probably start talking about. I'm thinking a hook. I'm thinking a headline. Yeah.
Good point. Cause we're going to get there. And yes, Lincoln, I am a doofus. Oh, real quick. I'm sorry. I know this is our show. Lincoln, congratulations to Lincoln really fast. Sorry. I know this is weird, but Lincoln just has, if you go to his page, check it out. Congratulations, Lincoln. Okay, moving on to emotional drivers. We talked about it, right? Emotions are what drive people, right? Because emotions are what make people have to make a decision, right? And why? So what are those emotions? Fear of not meeting an objective. That means you got to make a decision, right? The dream of having a successful team. Well, if you dreamed it and you saw it, you got to start making things happen. You got to start planning. How are you going to make that team happen? How are you going to pull resources from over here to over here so that you can fill these four roles that you need? Right? And then where does that make pain come up in other places for you? Right? And then personal work-life balance. They're people too, right? And all day, they don't have enough time. All day, they're just stressed out because they just don't have enough time. And remember, they're, you know, if they have kids, they have after school activities. They have dinners they have to get to. They have breakfast they have to make. If they have a spouse, they have things that they have to do in their work life while doing all these other things that are emotionally driving them with fear and aspiration and dreams. Those are the things that you tap into. That's how you talk to the people that you want to talk to. And here's the end of it. We're about to get to the fun part, I promise. Because we got to craft a message that resonates. We have to acknowledge the challenge. We have to acknowledge it though, right? We're not just writing about it. We're not over here trying to be a-holes about it. We're not just trying to just, you know, drive it down. We want to acknowledge it. We want to have empathy towards it. We want to let them know we understand your worldview. We understand what it's like to take a walk in your shoes, and we're here for you. In fact, we're the experts you need, right? But you got to acknowledge those challenges and those fears of having enough time to find the right candidates. They don't. They have seven other hats. They're wearing seven of these. They don't have the time for it, right? But you do. Yeah. But you do. That's exactly why they hire you, because you're the expert they need. You have the time. How are you going to help them see that? With all the emotion they're feeling of not having the time, being stressed out, being frustrated, having so much anxiety about it. Describe that relief and joy. That's the transformation. Think about the relief and joy they are going to feel when you come up into their process. When you come and show them that, you know what? You don't need 500 applications. You only need these three people. How much, I have goosebumps thinking about it right now. How amazing are they going to feel knowing that they have a guide that's going to guide them to their way to not have to get those text messages from their boss as they're about to eat dinner with their family because they're tired of it. That's emotional. That's what drives people. Before we get started, because we're about to, here's all I want y'all to do at home. Everybody sitting at home listening to us right now, I need y'all to put y'all thinking caps on. It doesn't have to look as cool as this one. I know. But, okay. Let's just start imagining the daily life of a hiring manager together, right? What does that look like? It's probably not much different from us, right? They key into work. There's a key into work. They go sit down at their desk. They probably have some pictures of their family up. Maybe not. Maybe they got a picture of their car, their vacation they want to go on, right? It's all things outside, right? What pain points do they go through that we know we can solve for them? We know we can alleviate their time because we're the experts they need for the hires. But don't just tell them, show them. You got to use vivid examples and stories to illustrate those points. You got to make that emotional connection stronger. You have to think that you understand how that pain shows up and then talk about it. Now let's do it. All right, here's the fun part. Can we put on some Feeding the Ducks? I think we need to feed the ducks.
Tell me twice.
All right, y'all. We're about to feed the ducks. Get your bread out. I hope it's brioche. You know, sourdough's cool too, but the ducks like brioche. And let's start feeding some ducks, y'all. All right.
We did an overlay this with some Enrique.
That's true.
I think for copyright issues I can't, but I'm picturing it. I'm imagining.
We don't want to get canceled, bro. We're just starting. All right. So last live we were on, we just started going. I thought we were gonna workshop it, but then we kind of like we weren't ready. But there were a couple ideas that we just brought out the woodworks, and one of them was this right here, right?
We just ran out of time.
We were just right. And so all I want to do today, guys, the whole purpose and process is I want you guys to think of the approach. And then we're going to start to fill this out so you guys can see how to think about it and how to go through it. But this is it's a general purpose kind of problem that we all have as recruiters, right? And we talked about it in this call. Your manager told you they need someone to start by next Monday. Curious how you plan on getting through those 500 applications. Okay. Now, here's what we're going to do. Clark has no idea what I'm about to say or how we're going to workshop this. No. So this is completely on the fly. But what we're going to try to do is I'm going to have Clark write the next line. And if I need to help him, I'll help him. I'll write the next line until we get 5 to 7 minutes in and we feel like we're at a good place. All right, Clark. So you're about to start writing. This is your thought for your post. What are you thinking about before you post? What is your approach to this post? And let's start there, and then let's get to writing.
Your manager told you they need someone to start by next Monday. Curious how you plan on getting through those 500 applications.
Actually, let me ask you this first. What emotions are we going to tap into in this post?
Well, what's the consequence of, I guess, of them not having, right? What's the consequence if someone doesn't start by Monday?
That's right.
The fear, the not knowing, that kind of the anxiety of we're tapping into lack of time, right? They got a full weekend with the family and the kids. It's Friday. Oh, someone so-and-so quit, right? I'm thinking skilled trades back in the day, right? A mechanic quit on Friday. You can't have the machine not run on Saturday. You need people the next day.
I think that's a good second line. Let's get them thinking about it. Your manager told you they need someone to start by next Monday. Curious how you plan on getting those. What's the consequence if somebody doesn't start? Let's like really dig that pain in. Let's get them thinking, oh shoot. Like what is the consequence if someone doesn't start?
If you don't have a mechanic on the line on third shift, the machine goes down and you lose $10,000 an hour every hour that it's down. The next mechanic doesn't come until 12 hours later, 8 hours later, right? That's $80,000.
Think of the mechanic that has a machine running. What's the consequence if someone doesn't start? Think of the mechanic that has a machine running.
I'm trying to think if there's a better way. Like,
that's okay.
The mechanic is there to make sure the machines are running and to fix it ASAP if it stops working, right? And preventative maintenance, right? On the fly maintenance. What if there's no one there? Who fixes it?
What if there's no, okay. So what's the consequence if someone doesn't start? The job doesn't get done. Or resources are pulled from other places.
Yeah, machine doesn't get fixed, right? But then you have to have someone. Yeah, so someone's working OT, and then that can get to a time and a half. That can get to double time real quick, right? Those costs start to add up.
Someone's Someone's working overtime.
And that person's probably happy to work overtime for 2 to 3 months to get the extra pay. But then what happens when they burn out, right? And then they get pressured home and everything else. And then they quit and they go find another job, right? And so you're just losing people. You're losing good people.
There you go. Okay, there you go. I like that. Someone's working overtime, getting pulled from a place that they might not be, but might not be their expertise. Now they're frustrated. Right? Right? Now they're frustrated. Now you have a team of people that are frustrated.
A dwindling team.
Now you have a dwindling team. Of people that are frustrated because they're working on stuff that they shouldn't be working on.
Yeah. Well, I like what Christina, I mean,
go ahead. Let's see what Christina got.
Well, Christina's getting at to, because what she's doing, what we always talk about, which is getting super specific to your niche and your industry, right? So it's like painting the picture, the line operator.
That's right. Right.
Mitch, right? There's no one there to correct, right? Or they called out sick that day.
There you go.
There's no one in to step in. Right. And it's like those are real scenarios that happen. Absolutely, Christina, happen all day. I mean, that's how I got in the door, all this food production companies.
That's a good point.
This right here.
Because really the pain is the money, right? What's the consequence if somebody doesn't start? Is it 100K? Is it 200K?
Yeah. So this goes back to, as kind of a side note, like what I always talk about, knowing the business case, right? The best content on LinkedIn comes from the people that do the best job qualifying their business, qualifying their recs, knowing their clients, knowing their candidates, knowing the business case for everything. That's why we teach sales and marketing in the Digital Recruiter Mastermind, right? Of which Kevin is now the director of client experience. So if you want to work with Kevin every day with this energy, you just let me know. We can make that happen. But like, that's why we cover it. The best marketing comes from really good sales.
Yes. Yo, I love where this post is right now. Like, just in the 3 minutes of us just workshopping and thinking about it. Great line, Christina. By the way, thank you for the assist. Your manager told you that you need someone to start by next Monday. Curious how you plan on getting through those 500 applicants. And by the way, saying your post out loud is highly powerful in terms of just like listening and hearing yourself. And does it flow? Does it sound like you talk, right? What's the consequence if someone doesn't start? 100K? Question mark. 200K? Someone's working overtime, getting pulled from a place that might not be their expertise. Now they're frustrated. Now you have a dwindling team of people that are frustrated and overworked. So now we're painting the picture, right? We're getting into the emotion. That's what this is. We have to reveal the problem, right? Oftentimes, they don't even know what the problem is because they're doing so many things in their day, they don't have the time to really sit with it, to think about it, because they have to move on to their next task. So our job within reason is to really reveal what that problem is and what it means that you might not have even thought of, because this person might not have done the mental math on the number, right? 100K, 200K, but that's what the business is thinking about. That's what their bosses care about, right? That's what's important to them. So what we go, how do we tell them that we're the person they need while still keeping them as the hero of the story, right? Someone's working overtime, getting pulled from a place that might not be their expertise. Now they're frustrated. Now you have a, I said now again. Let's take that out. Now you have a dwindling team of people that are frustrated and overworked. What's next? So what would you do next, Clark?
I'm rewriting some stuff over here. I'm gonna show them the real I'm workshopping the workshop.
That's fine. I love it. Okay.
Yeah. Well, this is how Clark writes content. All right.
No, that's good.
So we start writing stuff and then I kind of fix it up. So
well, that's cool because again, like to that point, your goal is to make the best piece of content you possibly can at that moment. And let me give you an example. So as we started this talk, right, we were going in one direction. And then Christina said something that made us think something a little bit different. And now we're able to improve it, right? So sometimes you will write a post, leave, come back, and you'll have new information. Or oftentimes I'll write a post, wait 5 to 10 minutes, come back. I feel like I'm a new person. And with that new information, I see things a little differently. So all you can do is write the best post you can at that moment. And that's all your goal is. And I say at that moment, because every time we post, we're going to get better and it's going to get better. And the more you post, the more you find your voice. Oh, there we go. There we go. But the more you'll be able to know what kind of content you have to craft for them. All right, what you got? Oh, he went direct. Go ahead. I love it.
Well, I just switch it up. Your second shift mechanic had to call out sick. No one else could fill in. The machine breaks down. No one is there to fix it. In a few hours, you're out $80,000. All because you wouldn't pay the last mechanic you interviewed $27 an hour versus $25 an hour. Or a 30% direct hire fee was too much. $16,000 in this case.
There you go. Now, can you break down what your approach was to writing that in the background?
Yeah, it's... I'd love to hear what comments think of that kind of compare and contrast, but
yeah,
I want them to click see more on the LinkedIn post. I know in manufacturing, you got to hit them direct because there's a lot of BS in the manufacturing world. It's skill trade and there's mechanics are jumping for a dollar. And okay. I know so managers.
Let's key in. Sorry. Let's key in right there and let's break it down line by line. So he said it, the hook. Okay. Your second shift mechanic had to call out sick. No one else could fill in. How many hiring managers do you think have had that exact problem and have not known how to solve it, right? So with Clark, what Clark said was his whole point of the hook is to get them to click see more. So that first line, what that first line does is it opens up a curiosity gap where anybody that's experienced that and not been able to solve it now is curious AF to know what Clark is about to say. Okay.
It goes back to what you said about the pain and the, you know, what are their pains, right? And describing the scenarios. And if you're a recruiter that's done this for any amount of time, I mean, even in 3 months of recruiting, you can see a lot of different scenarios unfold, right? So and again, as we're working tactically on the post, right? Maybe this is the big line, right? Mm-hmm. And I removed that. A few hours you're out because the machine went down and you wouldn't pay the last mechanic, right? Or whatever. Like, there's different ways. There's a few different headlines even in here. But yes, what Kevin's point, all capturing that emotion, that story, right? If you start asking when you qualify clients and prospects, I'm going to bring it back to sales all the time, right? Why is this position open? How long has it been open, right? Qualify better recs, qualify, you get better content. Because it's going to be more specific. Learn from the people you're talking to. And that's what you're sharing with the new audience in your cold outreach.
Well, it goes back to everything we say. And I won't turn this from workshop to this, but this is important. And it's that context is king. It's not content. Okay. So I can't plausibly go into a meeting with somebody I've never met and then give them content because I don't know any context. I don't know exactly why we're meeting. I don't know what your pain points are. I don't know what your dreams are. I don't know what you're looking to get out of this. I don't know what you're looking to make this year, right? So when you're approaching that call, like, I don't know enough. But even the same with this post, like, they don't know enough. So we have to help them reveal. That's what that first line does, is it helps reveal. Because if the first line they read is a curiosity gap open, then you are revealing their own. They're going to realize, like, oh, shoot, that's my problem. And they're going to want to know more and understand it. Yes, exactly. Go ahead, Clark.
I mean, Christina nailed it. This scenario, by the way, is one I had happen to the T when I was at Aerotech. And that's why I was able to get 25-30% direct hire fees or 80% markups on mechanics because I made the business case. I did the digging to figure out what the pain points were. Made the business case around it and how that applied to what we had as a recruiting team and the candidates, armed my team with go find all the best mechanics, get references, and that's our business, right? Like, that's what we're doing. That's how we're going to make money. And that's it. And then that turns into the best content, right? Because then, and we'll keep going writing this post, but that's the thought process, right? Everything in your content is in your day-to-day. Yes. Already happening. As long as the day-to-day you have the right inputs, right? You're asking the right questions. You're qualifying the right business. This is why we talk about getting curious, digging in. Don't chase recs. Don't chase the fee. Chase a role. Take a step back to understand, right, the client and to use that empathy and really it makes everything better and clear. And you know how to, this becomes this is how you can be build a predictable funnel and be like, it just sustainable is this. If you're focused on the right things and not just chasing and rushing and worried about KPIs or anything else, right? Slow down to speed up. That's where the best content's created.
All right.
I made Kevin speechless. I made Kevin speechless.
That's actually a good point. That doesn't happen often. But nah, I mean, yeah, you know, the best content is through our scenarios, through our day-to-day, because that's the real stuff that's actually happening. It's not, you know, it is your wins, but it's your wins within the context of their pain, right? It's how you solve, it's how you alleviated your pain. That's your win. You know, your win is not the feat. Like, I guess I think about impact. So I think about it a little bit differently, but I think the wins of a recruiter are the alleviation of pain. Yes. Because you know, that alleviation of pain is what gets you paid, right? It's not that you sold them on anything. It's that you have a solution that actually helps them. And that's like, that's the driver. But anyway, that's just me.
You have a solution that helps them and they want to work with you, right? You're handling all the logistics. Like, yeah, you're doing what a recruiter is supposed to do as a matchmaker, that you know the candidates, you know the clients, you're relevant. What, Kevin, what you said earlier, right? The 500 applicants, but you're getting the three, the right people, right? And working through that and consulting them on that and getting their intake, you providing your thoughts, like in your input, and there's a collaboration going on. They enjoy collaborating with you, right? I mean, that's you and I, that's, we connected, we started talking, we work together now because we enjoyed that collaboration, right? That piece, if you start doing that with enough managers and then start talking about how that's what you enjoy in the process, that's what people want. At the end of the day, the human experience is about quality relationships and partnerships. And people want that in life. They want that in business, right? Their personal life. Like, that's the, don't get so caught up in the perfect candidate and 100% retention rate and all that. Like, you can't control those things, right? Mm-hmm. But you can control their experience, right? From a sales, from a partnership, and from a content piece, right? Like, you have a ton of say in how that's it. And just knowing that there, people have a lot of, there's a lot of negative experiences, or there's a lot of noise thrown at us, right? So coming across as someone that just gets it, right? That gets their business, like the business stuff, the pain, all that, like that's, yep, that is the value in all this.
Yes. And 100%. And it's, again, back to worldviews. It's why we talk about using empathy as a research tool, because it's the genuine curiosity of understanding that pain. And that's that genuine curiosity of digging and digging and digging and digging and digging and then digging some more. It's that research and it's that understanding that allows you to have the best contextual content that you can possibly have. That's when, like, I get messages where people will sincerely say, it's like you're in my head. And it's because I will dig as deeply as possible until I feel like I'm saying the words that you would say. And ultimately, again, to that point, right? If you're putting out content already, you already have it. It's called comments. They're literally telling you how they feel. That's it right there. Like, a lot of that, what you need to capture is right there. But back to the workshop here. Again, the transformation we want here for sure is we want this person to know that you don't have to spend all this time doing this. Like, there is a better way. There's, right, quality, not quantity. So often as recruiters, we're told that it's quantity over quality. And so when you come with a message that's no, it's actually quality over quantity, and don't worry about it because I'm going to take care of it.
Well, I would say some people definitely told quantity over quality. What people realize is quality matters, but you do need some sort of quantity, right? It's like, how do you get the right quantity to get to the quality? And that's what we talk like. And how do you create that filtering system? What's that?
Exactly. You're the filtering system. So in my mind, I, the recruiter, should be going through 500 applications, not you, the hiring manager. You should be going through the 10, maybe you should be going through the 5 to 10, final applicants of what that is, but they shouldn't be wasting all their time in a place where it's not even their superpower. That's your superpower, is evaluating that talent. Go ahead.
I just sharing that over. I was thinking about our content workshop, like our group call yesterday, right? Like that's what it was, right? I mean, that was the line that Nicole had, right? She had a whole post about how she was the only recruiter that manager wanted to work with, everything. But she was like, all the stuff she said, what did she say? She said, it took me 2 seconds to figure out that this was the right resume.
Yeah.
But her 2 seconds of figuring it out, the hiring manager would have had no clue what they were looking for. They would have dismissed the person or whatever. And it turns out that was a perfect person, right? And for her, that's what she does, right? It's the air she breathes. But that's the point that you want to expand on. Why does it only take 2 seconds? Well, because I've talked to thousands of candidates for 10,000s of hours, and I know the industry, and I have the systems, and I have the follow-ups, and I know the questions, and I've been burned, and I've learned, and I've won, and I've lost, like all that stuff.
In reality, they're not really buying your skill set. They're buying how you got to your skill set, aka your wisdom, aka your knowledge plus your experience.
Well, you put in the work, right? Recruiting is low barrier to entry, and that is how hiring managers see us. Anyone can be a recruiter.
That's a great point. So real quick, sorry, to that point, and it's so important for this. For this post, again, going back, it would take this person, most hiring managers, how long to go through 500 applications? They don't do that. That's not the resource. But for you, we go through them, 6 seconds? How long would that take, right? So to Clark's point right there, that's what they hire you for. They hire you for the 10 years of experience of you going through thousands and thousands of resumes already, and you already know what you're looking for, where it is, what it sounds like, how people write their resumes. Like you already have so much information and knowledge on this part of the process that is exactly what they're hiring you for. But it's not the awesome way you do this or the crazy way you do that. There's not some like amazing freaking thing, right? It's the little things. It's your timeline. It's that you got three people through the door in under a week. Like that's a differentiator, right? Like that's the important piece. So what's that experience? How did you come to know what you know? How is it, Nicole, that you can look at a resume and know in 2 seconds or less if this is the person? How do you know that? That's what they're hiring you for. Sorry.
I love it. No, I just wrote it's not necessarily coherent with all the posts yet, but again, you guys are kind of getting an idea of like different ways that you can write, right? It doesn't all have to be linear, right? We always talk about growth isn't linear. Same thing with a post, right? I'll write different sections of it and then see how it kind of ties together.
Oh, yeah.
But like this is some of the solution, right? Like you have to highlight it. You know, someone who's talked to thousands of mechanics for 10,000, like in 100 in the last month, that can fix that machine, that's ready to start, that has references completed, that can interview in an hour, right? And that's sometimes in the mechanic world, that's what would happen, right? It's like that's the solution, right? They just don't even know it exists, right? They don't know about all the work that you put in. The amount of recruiters that I talk to, they're like, I do all this. If only my prospects knew. Post about it. Then they'll know. And make sure you're connecting with them. You know, you have that ecosystem running, but post about it.
I mean, those are the best posts, dude. I mean, they resonate the most. They elicit the most emotion. And again, as we'll harp on, emotions create movement. But do me a favor. Just read the post out loud. Like,
which one? Mine or yours?
Yeah. No, yours.
Well, I don't know if I could fix, but right, your second shift mechanic had to call out sick. No one else could fill in. A machine breaks down. No one is there to fix it. In a few hours, you're out $80,000. All because you wouldn't pay the last mechanic you interviewed 27 an hour versus 25 an hour. Or the 30% direct hire fee was too much, you know, 16,000. Or switch this. Even though mechanic was out there, they're in skills. No, that's not right. That's what I do. Well, so then I'll just say, imagine having access to a resource. He's talked to thousands of mechanics for over 10,000 hours and just 100 in the last month that could fix that machine, that are ready to start, that has professional references completed. Good news is for you, there is. And then the wave emoji, right? You kind of just wave to him.
Look, I did it. I made you do that. And I'm so glad that you just edited it and took it out, because you literally made my point. With written content, you can always go back and make improvements. Nothing is written in stone, right? Yeah. Like, some people seem to get in this mindset that once you publish something, like, it's done and you have to move on to the next thing and never look back. No. Look back. Some of your best content is repurposed. Don't let me tell y'all the amount of times that I've repurposed the same exact post from 6 months ago, and it works because it works. There's enough noise out there.
The themes work. The themes are always true. The themes work. If you figure it out, like, that's the goal. You got to figure out what themes resonate with your audience. We figured out a lot of them with what resonates hiring managers. We were tried and true and tested. And that's, then we've seen it across different industries, accounting and finance, construction, IT, manufacturing, what am I, tech, all that stuff. Like, yep. We know them. That's what we're teaching every, you know, really every day, and right, like the course, everything else. Like, we know them, but it's like, then how do you apply it to you, right? Bring out your voice. Every one of you has a situation like this that you could talk about, and you have probably have dozens of them.
That's right. Right.
And that's hitting those themes over and over. Won't my audience get tired of it? No, because they won't see every single one of your posts, right? But think about how many times you go back to the same blog every day or the same news site, all that, right? It's like, you want to read, if it's entertaining, you want to see what they got to say today. What story do they have today?
Yep.
Right? What example? Like, that's, you know, just kind of breaking through some of the objections people have.
100%. And to, you know, to all this point, and we'll go to this next workshop, and this might be our last one, but we'll see. You know, think about a year from now. Think about the content you're making today, okay? But think about how much better you're going to be a year from now as you continue to put the boat in the water, okay? It's going to be miles better than the stuff you're writing now. And you're going to be able to go back and improve upon it based on your experiences and knowledge with understanding writing and your audience better. Think of how much better those posts will be. Think how much harder they'll hit. Think how much of an emotional appeal those will have. That's where stuff really starts to get amazing with your content. When you already have this foundation of stuff that you've worked on, you have a year of content, you can go back and just improve and improve it. That's where the fun really starts to begin.
All right. Wait, what? I love it. I went meta. I think I clicked on our event in LinkedIn.
No, that's good. That's good. I was like, God?
I went meta. Sorry.
So for the second example, second example today, Kevin didn't get much sleep, but whatever. I wanted to get a little more specific. So luckily, Christina was awesome and helped us get more specific in that post. So we kind of did it, but I wanted to get specific in just like healthcare. So one of the folks that we assist with in our workshop is an RN nurse. An RN healthcare nurse. Wait, what am I trying to say? An R recruiter. Lord have mercy. And say it. Go ahead.
She was an RN and a manager in there, but now she is a healthcare recruiter.
Thank you. That's where I'm at. So she started with this amazing post, and here's the hook that she used. And so, again, the point of this is, I also want to show that no matter the industry, the situations are almost always the same. Yes, the players might be different. Yes, the plays might be a little bit different, but the situations are always the same, right? So what's the situation here? I'm sorry, but the nurse accepted another offer. What's the situation we're talking about? How many times have we closed the role, got them to the promised land, only to find out that they got to their other employer, had a discussion, they offered them a little bit more, a pizza party and ping pong at lunch, and all of a sudden they've accepted another offer, right? What do we do with that? What's the emotion that we want to tap into, right? How does that hiring manager feel about having gone through this whole process, right? They went through this whole process of finding people. They spoke to 15 different people, had 6 different interviews with different people, finally got to this place. We're like, okay, we got them. And then right as they're about to start. You got a start date and everything, okay? You let them meet the team, right? Like, it even gets to that point. But then they go back and they sign another offer. Oh, devastation, right? Frustration. Those are the emotions we got to tap into. Clark, I see the wheels moving.
I mean, you're nailing it. What do we got next? We're just writing?
Let's just write. Yeah, let's just write. So the approach, going back to the approach, what are you thinking about? What are you thinking about for the hiring manager that's feeling this way, that now has to go through the whole, that feels like they have to go through the whole process again?
Yeah, this is, you know, the unfortunate, I mean, trying to accept another offer. You know, unfortunately, what I had to let a client know, right, you know, last week or whatever, or a few months back, you know, I had to be the bearer of bad news to a client.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unfortunately, you know, despite, you know, all my warnings and of our interview process, that nurses move quick, they get hit, you know, they get interviewed, they get offers quick. Like, we got the best candidates, we got to wrap this up in 2 to 3 weeks as an interview process, right? Certain things came up, schedules, holidays, and 7 weeks later, you know, the offer hadn't actually been sent out. And so the nurse, not knowing what was going on, because there was uncertainty in the hospital that had been revealed, she took an offer with a hospital that moved quick through the interview process, through the offer, that knew what they wanted, and they made sure they had it happen, right?
Okay. I'm sorry, but the nurse accepted another offer. How are we highlighting the problem for them? How are we just making sure that we're highlighting that problem? Let me take that away so you don't.
Yeah, I just. Because the thing with something like this, you got to be able to show that competency, right? If it's your client, you can't have it look bad on you. You'd be like, I prepped them, I did it, but I get it, right? This is part of you being a consultant. It's like,
that's right.
This is the best laid plans. The client didn't follow them. Sometimes for stuff happens, right? But it's like, all right, that was the way they kind of got in line, right? And figured it out. To me, that's a powerful story of transformation. It shows that you can be a really, like, a strong consultant to a company that they might think, like, you know, we don't have it quite figured out right now, but, you know, Kevin, you know, he can help me. He can help us kind of figure it out, right? Help with roadblocks. Or this happened to us, and I didn't know there was anything that we could actually do about it to fix it, right? Or what could we do internally? Do we need all these interviews? Do we need all these approvals, right? Like, what can we do? What does that other hospital do that moved quickly? How do we be like them, right? And even sharing in the post, like, my best clients, like, this is what they do, right? And it's just like, this is the process, all that. This is what we define what success looks like in relation to kind of telling the unfortunate story.
You know, right? It sounds like it's like one of those reflection where it's like, what could we have done better, right? You know, so much of a process when you're dealing with people is that ownership, right? That ownership part of it. And that teach back and that look back of things. Like, how many times have we gone through a project or a process and actually asked ourselves, like, did we give it our best? What areas could we have done better in? And how much would hiring manager love a recruiter that has self-awareness, that's thinking about how you're continuously improving your process, right? How you're thinking about where I messed up. Like, ownership too. Like, being honest, like, yo, that's where I messed up and that's where I got to do better. Go ahead, Clark.
You nailed it. The ownership, right? How can you have ownership, the lessons that are learned, you know, along the way, you know, and separating, one of the things with ownership is separating time, right? When I was first starting my career years ago, right? Many moons ago, right? I learned the hard way. Like, this is what we do. Now, this is why we mandate that this is part of our process as we partner with companies and hospitals, because we've learned what works. Again, low barrier to entry in recruiting, high bar to success. You keep elevating yourself and removing yourself from the low barrier. Be like, oh, they have experience. They have wins. They have a process. It's defined, right? A lot of agencies get looked at as just a thrown together business. A lot of times, rightfully so. right? And so this is just added that legitimacy that you have your own worst war stories in business and that you've been through it. And as Kevin said, that self-reflection, it adds dimension and it makes you more dynamic than those one-dimensional recruiters that are just spray and pray on LinkedIn, on email. There's no strategy. There's no intention. There's no value. Right. And that's how these managers are looking at most. That's how they lump us all in. And especially imagine a manager that's already working with 2, 3, 4 agencies, which almost every healthcare organization already is or already has. Right. They don't want to pick up the phone and find another recruiter that's also going to overpromise or under deliver. They want to read this from a recruiter that's been there that they can trust. Right. They can build trust that is going to reflect, is going to be a consultant. Right, and work through the issues with them, the issues that are going to happen. But it's how you react and respond to those that determines, and that's what people know when they make their decision, right? When they're overwhelmed, they need a new recruiter. That's how they're going to evaluate all this. And this shoots you up the ladder.
So much of this people process. All right, let's go back. I was writing it while you were talking it. No, I love that. Perfect, right? Okay. So let's just workshop this as talking about what we're all talking about. I'm sorry, but the nurse accepted another offer, right? Sometimes, and by the way, I don't even know. I'm just going to say it. So we'll see. Sometimes the best laid plans don't work out, and that's okay. The one thing we can never control are people's decisions. But what could we have done differently? How could we have managed the candidate's expectations better? There's always an opportunity to be better, but it takes having ownership over your process, over your role. Asking yourself the right questions, being self-critical, being the expert. Were there places I could have spoken up? Could I have been the consultant, right? I think so much of this people process is about how you react and respond. I was just going off what you were saying.
I would just say so much of this.
So much.
Not I think. Be definitive, right?
That's right.
You always say that.
Don't hedge. Absolutely. Don't hedge your language, especially if you know it. Don't hedge your language. Be definitive. Don't be like so much. Just tell them. Yeah. You know, that's a good one. Could I have been the consultant? Yes, I could have.
Well, part of being a consultant is also you can give someone the roadmap and lay it all out. They got to do it.
That's also true. So okay. So let's wrap up the post. I'm sorry, but the nurse accepted an offer, right? It's an ownership post. I need to do better. I need to be always looking. How would we wrap this up to let the hiring manager know that you've hired somebody that's always thinking about the process, that's always trying to manage expectations, and I'm going to do better next time because I'm learning from my failures?
Yeah, like this is where the best partnerships between our agency and our clients are formed. Right? How do we respond when we find a break or a bottleneck in the process? Right? Do we look to actually fix it? Right? Who takes ownership, but who takes ownership over the solution? Because there's always a solution, right? This is what we do. We can get another nurse and all that, but we have to all commit to improving. And, you know, is this really the result? If you really want to bring nurses on, like, let's fix this. This is the one bottleneck. We're going to give you the intel on the market and what makes them, you know, jump from a certain job or jump to your hospital, your clinic. Like, what are we going to do about it? Are we actually going to fix it?
Best way to do it. All right. Again, nothing crazy, right? We're writing the best that we can at the moment. We're on a live show. I'm talking to Clark. I've got 17 things in my head. I'm tired as AF, but we're just doing the best we can at the moment. And then we can always do better. So I'm going to say it one more time. Let's just say the whole post out and we'll wrap it up here. I'm sorry, but the nurse accepted another offer. Sometimes the best laid plans don't work out. And that's okay. The one thing we can never control are people's decisions. But we can control. You said that earlier, our reactions.
The process. We control the process.
We can control the process. Okay. So what could we have done differently? How could we have managed the candidate's expectations better? There's always an opportunity to be better, but it takes having ownership over your process, over your role, asking yourself the right questions, being self-critical and being the expert. Were there places where I could have spoken up? Could I have been a consultant? Yes, I could have. So much of this people process is about knowing how to react and respond. This is where the best partnerships between agencies and organizations are formed, asking the right questions, working together, and managing each other's expectations. It's a collaborative process, and that's always been the best way to do it. You're on mute.
But for off the cuff, I mean, that's great, right? That's it's it. Like, and then what do you do next? You could post this immediately, right? And just see how it goes. You could kind of sit on it for a second and kind of again.
Right there. Okay, right there. That's a great segue. We have 5 minutes. Let's go right there. Okay. Clark said, you can post it immediately. And then guys, for everybody out there, please understand that LinkedIn is a social networking, okay? You're putting posts out there to have conversations with people. If you do not comment back, you are missing out on so much gold. You're missing out on the whole point. It's that external feedback that helps you understand yourself better. It's what helps your own believability. You have to create believability with your market. If you put out posts and you don't come and comment, people are going to remember that. This is a labor of love for a lot of people. And if over time you've been putting posts out months after months after months, they're going to remember that and they're going to drop off. Think about the messages you get in your inbox, recruiters, marketers. When that one person sends that one message you don't like, they're done. You're not, no more. How many times have you done that with your audience? So please, when you put out a post, treat it like your baby. Care about the people that are taking the time out of their busy AF days to just say, what's up? Hello. I appreciate that you're letting me know how you think. It means something, guys. I just want to like really harp on that. Okay.
Interact with the comments, interact with the likes, the people that view their profile, your profile. It all matters, right?
It all
matters. And we got to keep showing up.
And we're here to build relationships. Yeah. If they're coming because they like your content, think about that for 1 second, y'all. Just really quick. A hiring manager you want to reach. We already talked about the 8 hats they have to wear. We talked about the roles they need to hire. If they are taking the time out of their day to reply to one of your posts, that means they like you.
Yeah.
Because they don't have the time. They don't have the time. That's a signal that you should take and run with. Just saying.
Yep.
Just saying.
Clark. We got to go.
This is another banger. We got to go. Oh my God, I really have to go.
we really got to go.
I literally have a meeting in 2 minutes and have to go. Yeah.
All right.
Thank you, Kevin.
This was fun. Thanks everyone for commenting.
Appreciate you.
People. I know we had Luke, Christina.
Lincoln,
Christina. Bradley, that was awesome. Bradley.
Tim, yes. Jessica, Amber. Thank you guys so much. And for everybody else that we can't see, Gay, thank you so much. Gina, thank you. Luke, thank you. Annalise, thank you. And for everybody at home Caitlin. That we couldn't see, appreciate you. Caitlin, thank you. Take it and run with it.
Hey, have a great weekend.
Real quick. For anybody that's still watching, just let us know. Just DM us. Just say happy Friday in the comments and let us know you're here.
Happy Friday, y'all.
Happy Friday,
y'all. Good weekend, brother. Appreciate you.
You too, bro.
Appreciate you. See you Monday.
Thank you, guys.